Father God, we pray that as that hymn has just proclaimed, we call out to you to draw near to us. We can only go so far on our own, and we just pray that you will be here with us. And I pray that the words that I will speak now will be your words through the power of your Holy Spirit, drawing us ever closer to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So it's a real pleasure to be here this morning with you. Bit of a surprise. I was talking to Eric in the week, and he indicated that he had a really busy Sunday, so I offered to stand in and help if he needed me. But actually, you didn't need me at all, because the puppets did it all. And it's fantastic. You know, you guys, they were just brilliant at explaining this concept of Jesus, the light of the world. One of the things that Jesus said about himself in John's Gospel, one of the seven I am statements. But I just want to spend 2 minutes just unpacking. This concept of Jesus as the light of the world. You had Jess, Declan and little Sam doing their bits, and now there's a slightly bigger Sam, not hugely bigger, but a bit bigger, reflecting perhaps on three aspects of light. The first is that light triumphs over darkness. Light illuminates and light enables work to be done. Light triumphs over darkness. That reading we heard from John 3 is a refrain on John's opening hymn in his gospel. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not and will not and cannot overcome it. Light always dispels darkness. Darkness is absence of light. For darkness here, perhaps we can read fear and evil, just as Sam was worried and frightened of the dark. Jesus dispels all that fear. He drives out the evil. And that's not to say that evil has no power in the world, because it does. But in the face of Jesus, it is as though it had no power. When I was at theological college, I was blessed by spending time with an amazing man who told me once his story of how he had come to Christ. He'd got himself into really bad ways. He'd got involved in drink and drugs and really dark stuff. He was a Satanist, and he just got himself into a real mess, and he was terrified. He spent most of his life in fear. And one day he went back to his room and he knelt down and he said, "Jesus, look, I have no idea who you are, but somebody said that if I only called out to you, then you would get me out of this mess that I've got myself in, that you would take away this fear. And so that's what I'm doing now, Jesus. I have no idea if you're there. I have no idea if you're real. But if you are real, come into my life. And if you come into my life and take away this fear, then I will give my life to you forever." And in that moment, Jesus stepped in. And Jesus met with him in the midst of his fear and his doubt, and he's just at the bottom of his life. And Jesus stepped in and changed his life forever. And he was no longer afraid. And he changed his life. And today, he is a vicar in the Church of England. And he speaks of what he knows, that Jesus, the light of the world, saves us from the darkness. If I had one message today, and I might talk a little bit more, but if I had one message today, it is this. If you have come today maybe seeking the light because you're frightened, because you know that you're in a dark place, come and pray with somebody at the end. come and help, let us help you to find Jesus, who will dispel that darkness and will deliver you from evil. Don't be afraid to come forward, and there'll be people at the end, looking now at my friends over here, there'll be people at the end who will pray with you, if that's what you need. Jesus saves. Jesus is the light of the world, and he will drive out that darkness. So light triumphs over darkness, but light also illuminates. And again, we got a really good sense of that as Declan was looking for, oh no, Sam was looking for his dinner money. But the thing about light is that it lights up not only the good things, sunsets and beautiful faces and television and all those amazing things. I was on the moors in the week on that one day of sunshine and looked out over the whole of the Vale and across to Middlesbrough, and it was just glorious. The light illuminates the beauty of our world, but it also illuminates the darkness and the dark. And the bad things that are going on in our world. And we don't have to look far to see some major atrocities and some major need and some major bad things that are happening across our world. And I think it's really telling that if we just take one example, if we take the example of the refugee crisis, for all the words that were spoken, at the end of the day, it was one image that changed the way that people thought about the refugee crisis. And an image is light. That one image, that one picture replaced all the words and all the rhetoric, and it drove out the darkness of our hearts, and it said, these are people. Let's never forget that. The power of light can change the world. Jesus, in his day, illuminated sinfulness in his world. He illuminated the social, political, and religious injustices of his world. And in my head, there are a couple of abiding images. There's that image of Jesus sweeping away the tables in the temple and saying, it shouldn't be like this. This is wrong. This is not how it should be. But there's also, I think, Jesus' attitude to women and children. In the gospel times, women were not people. They had no rights. They were belongings and possessions. Quite a lot of the time, they were unclean according to the religious laws. But Jesus saw them. And he saw their humanity, and he reached out to them and he healed them. And he brought them into his glorious light. That image in Luke 13 of a woman bent over for 13 years. Jesus reached out and he picked her up so that for the first time in years, she could face the world face to face. Jesus illuminated the injustice and the wrongness and the sinfulness of his world. And now we're called to do the same. Ephesians 5, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. And Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine so that others may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus illuminated the world in his day and still does through the power of his Spirit, but we are children of light, and we should illuminate. And we are called to act on what we see. And I know that sometimes it's really hard to know what to do. Just going back to the refugee crisis again, this is a major social and political issue which affects the whole world. What is the right thing to do? What is sinfulness? Our best definition I ever came across of sin, I came across not in some weighty theological textbook, but in a book by Terry Pratchett, who died fairly recently. Granny Weatherwax is a wise woman, and at one point she's debating with a priest, and he's vacillating, and he's saying, oh yes, but on the one hand this, and on the one hand this, and so on. And she says, I'll tell you what sin is, she said. It's when people start treating other people as things. Sin is when people start treating people as things. And I've not come across a situation of sin up until now which hasn't fit that definition. It's not always easy to know what to do, but the first thing that we can do is we can see reflected in other human beings the light of Christ. And we can see reflected in other human beings that they too are children of the light. They too are children of the same Heavenly Father, and we need to embrace them as that and see that light in them. Which brings us neatly perhaps to the last point, which is that light enables work to be done. In our reading today from John 9, when Jesus proclaims, I am the light of the world, just after that he heals a blind man. And John 9:4 says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can do work. Now, in New Testament times, of course, when it was dark, you couldn't do any work. We didn't have all these amazing electric lights. And to some extent, you know, that sort of softened us, I think, as human beings, because there's no real urgency anymore in our lives. Our days are endless if we choose to make them so. But what Jesus is pointing to in this is that work, his Father's work, is urgent. Because the darkness is never very far away. And we are the children of light. Once you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of light. We are born of the light and we reflect God's light in our own lives. Not in our own power, but as reflectors and harnessers and focusers of God's light and power. As children of light, we have the power and responsibility to triumph over darkness and evil, but also to be that beacon of hope in the world. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The local church is the light of the world. A beacon of hope in a dark place. Its primary purpose, arguably, is to draw people into the light and love of Christ. Not so much by persuasion or by arguing. I'm never convinced that words will persuade. But by revealing the light of Christ in who you are and what you do. So, claim the promises that have been made to you already. You are children of the light. Christ's church is the light of the world. Be worthy of that name to reflect God's light and power in this dark world with a sense of urgency. Illuminate the darkness and be that beacon of hope in the world. And may God bless all of us in our endeavours to follow Jesus, the light of the world. Amen.